I don't know if you know this about me, but when I was at UND, my major that I studied in UND is something called anthropology, which is basically Greek for a man who will make no money. Actually, it means it's you study human beings, you study culture, whether ancient ones or modern ones, and most of me chose that major because I knew it'd be pretty easy and I had no other interest in anything else. But I did really actually enjoy it, and I thought it was kind of fascinating to study different cultures and to imagine what it might have been like to be in certain cultures. And as I was preparing for tonight, I had this thought that maybe we could tonight imagine what you might, or how you might know God if you didn't have the Holy Scriptures and if you didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. That you had no knowledge of who Jesus was and you had no knowledge of Scripture itself. How might you know and experience who God is? I imagine that we would start by trying to know God through what we see in the world. And this has been true for many cultures throughout the history of the world, by the way, that they understand religion by what they observe in the modern or in the natural world. So you might start by looking at the sun and the moon and the stars, and certainly lots of ancient religions have sun gods, they have moon god, and things like that. You might look at those things and think, well, there's order there. The sun is always there, the moon's always there, there's certain stars in place at all times. You might think, well, God is a god of order. But then you look at other things that you might see in the natural world. You look at storms, you look at disasters. You look at famines, and you look at droughts, and you look at floods, and all these things, earthquakes, and what have you. And then you might start to think, well, God is a God of chaos. Throughout cultural history, this is how people understood God to be, by looking at what was around them and what they could see, and it frankly made them terrified. Because what they would see is that they had certain needs, right? At certain times of the year, they needed crops to come in. And for those crops to come in, well then, if God is a God of natural order, I need that God to make sure that I get enough rain. Or I need that God to not be angry at me and send a famine. And so what you would do is your view of God was basically based on what you see and your own needs. And it made God out to be unpredictable. You didn't know what God was going to do. It made God out to be finicky and very impersonal. You couldn't approach God or gods in many cases. And so what you have in all sorts of ancient cultures are you have people who would seek to pacify the different deities, the different gods. They would seek to even persuade them to be generous towards you so that you could have a good harvest. Persuade them to be generous towards you so that you could be healthy and have a home and have fertility and all these different things, and pacify them so that the volcano down the street doesn't erupt and melt your town away. And so you would always have these questions. Is God satisfied? Is God happy with me? Have I done enough to keep peace with God? Now, I know this sounds barbaric. It sounds really ancient. It sounds tribal in many ways, maybe even silly. But I would venture to say there's probably plenty of people in the world who still worship in this kind of way. And I would say that there are many people who profess faith as a Christian who still ask those same kinds of questions. Is God happy with me? Is God satisfied with what I do? Have I done enough to keep peace with God? I'm thinking some of us have asked those kind of questions. And I think there's other kind of questions that we've asked of ourselves at times that might lead us to have a God that we have to pacify. Did I pray enough? Why did this thing happen to me? Did I not have enough faith? Or maybe you've had thoughts like, well, God is pleased with us as long as we're good. Caveat there is you have to be good or God won't be pleased with you. There's no assurance in a theology like that. There's no confidence there when you seek to know God outside of how God has chosen to show himself. But we of faith sitting here tonight, we who have professed faith in Christ, have a marvelous gift. God has revealed himself to us. And he has done so purely and simply through Jesus Christ for you. Every page of Holy Scripture, which we've also been blessed to receive, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, every page shows us something about Jesus. We are blessed to know God because God has shown us Jesus. Jesus is how he intends to reveal who God is to this world. And so because of this, we can have assurance. We can have confidence. We don't have to ask ourselves those questions of, is God satisfied with me? Is God happy with me? Have I done enough to keep peace with God? Because all those questions are answered in Jesus Christ. And he gives us that yes through faith in Christ. Jesus is God's satisfaction for you. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world does this have to do with the Lord's Prayer? And especially with our first line of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who is in heaven, who art in heaven. What does it have to do with that? Jesus has given us many great and glorious benefits and wonders for having faith in him. There are so many benefits to having faith in Christ. The first is that the character of God has been revealed to us, and we see that character as being merciful, as being a kindness and grace. In 1 John, it talks about how God is love, and we know the love of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus has revealed that to us. Through Jesus and him satisfying all of God's desires for us, through him, then we have forgiveness of sins, and we are made righteous through Christ. Through Christ, we have peace with God. We have been given many benefits when we have faith in Christ. But there's one tonight that we got to look at just a little bit, that we sometimes take for granted because we pray this prayer so often. Because one of the greatest gifts we have been given from Christ is this unique and absolutely humbling privilege to be able to call God Almighty, who created heaven and earth, who is God of the storm and God of the crops and God of fertility and God of everything, the God who has created all things, put the sun in the sky, the moon, the stars, and created you. We have in Jesus Christ this unique and humbling privilege to be able to call the God Father. It's the most personal thing, most personable identity that God can give us, is to be able to address God as Father. and it is purely a gift for those who have faith in Christ. Jesus, God's Son, eternal Son, shares this privilege with those who have faith in Him. He gives you the benefit, the right, to address Almighty God as Father. And what's more is that He even gives us the words that God wants to hear. We don't have to worry about what we need to do for a prayer. If you're wondering how to pray around your table, if you're wondering how to pray for your kids and with your children or your spouse, or if you're in the hospital room, you're wondering what to pray, Jesus has given us the words that His Father wants to hear. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's a marvelous, marvelous gift. So not only have we been given the privilege to call God our Father, but we have been given the very words that God wants to hear from His children. And this prayer is heard by God not because of your outstanding devotion, not because of some sacrifice you might do, or not because of your own goodness, but because they are Christ's own words. And the Father delights to hear them. And over the course of the next 5 weeks, we'll look at exactly what Jesus has given us in this prayer and these words that our tender and dear Father loves to hear and loves to answer and bless us with. What a gift we have. Luther tells us, by these words, God would tenderly encourage us to believe that He is our true Father. We are His true children, so that we may ask Him confidently, with all assurance, as dear children ask their dear Father. Will you stand with me, please, as you're able, as we pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.